Hey, Jason here. Today's video, I'm going to analyze Solar Edge for you and answer the question, should you invest in Solar Edge? Stock ticker SEDG. SEDG. This is a stock analysis for David C., who requested this on YouTube. Before I get to that, though, I need to let you know you can get this podcast or this video as a podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms. Stitcher, Anchor, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and more. This is part of the I Love Value Investing and Value Investing Your Car podcast anywhere in the world for free. And if you love this content or other content, make sure to subscribe, hit the notification bell so you're notified every time I release a new video, and release new videos all the time. Okay, if you see my other videos like this, what I'm about to say, I don't want to say, I don't like saying it, but I have to say it because every time I don't, I get nasty, disgusting comments on YouTube. So, I do not short sell ever. So if I talk negatively about any stock, I don't profit from it. I also don't own any stock I talk about in a long position either, which means I don't profit if I talk positively about it. I'm doing these analyses at the request of viewers who request all these videos for your education purposes only. Why am I doing this? To help you learn how to spot, or to help you learn how to evaluate companies faster for investment. By showing you my process I've developed over the last 15 years that has helped me become one of the best investors in the world, at least in terms of the returns I produce for my shareholders. And getting to that, why should you listen to anything I have to say? In the first 9 years of my career, I produced average annual returns of 23.5% per year on average. In the portfolios I manage, this puts me just behind the great Warren Buffett and the 24.2% return average investment returns that he produced in the first 90 years of his career at the Buffett Limited Partnership. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this to prove to you that I actually know what I'm talking about a little bit. What else? I purposely do not evaluate these stocks before I make these videos. Again, they're at the request of viewers. Most of the time, I don't know what these stocks do. Sometimes I do, most of the time I don't. I purposely do not evaluate them at all before I do these videos, because I don't want that to bias me in any way, either negatively or positively. At this stage of the analysis, I don't care about things like story. I don't care what the company's plans are in the future. If a company doesn't meet this initial threshold, which you're about to see, I don't even get to the story. I don't get to the other financials. I don't get to reading financial reports like 10-Ks, proxy reports, anything like that. If it doesn't meet this threshold right here, I don't get to that stage. Okay. Again, I apologize for that. Don't want to say it. Have to say it. Okay. So we're looking at Solar Edge today for David C., who requested this on YouTube. Thank you, David C., for requesting this company. I'm guessing from their name, they are a solar company. I have not evaluated this company before, but again, I'm going to assume they're a solar company. Actually, let's not assume. Solar Edge Technologies, Inc., together with its subsidiaries, designs, develops, and sells direct current DC optimized inverter systems for solar photovoltaic PV installations. The company system consists of power optimizers, inverters, and cloud-based monitoring platform, and addresses a broad range of solar market segments. From residential solar installations to commercial and small utility scale solar installations, the company sells its products directly to solar installers, engineering, procurement, and construction firms, and indirectly to solar installers through distributors and electrical equipment wholesalers. So I have to go through this. I'm glad I read this. And this is why I started reading this probably five or so videos ago. I think it was the Wide Point video, and that might have been actually longer than that. You can pick up a lot from this small paragraph on Morningstar. And for WidePoint, it was massive potential competitive advantages because they're a government contractor. And I showed you kind of the analysis process and how to think through that. In this one, this is interesting because they're not, it doesn't sound like, an installer. Why is that important? Sells direct current optimized inverter systems for solar voltaic installations. To me, that doesn't sound like they install it. Why is that important? Because at this stage, solar prices are coming down rapidly. and the technology is coming. So, for example, and frankly, it's already here. For a personal example, Me and my family, we live in the Tampa, Florida area, and we got solar panels put on our house because their costs have come significantly down. It's sunny, like out of 365 days a year, it's sunny something like 340 days here. So it just makes sense in Florida, where I live, to have this kind of stuff. Even right down the road from where I am at the power plant. That I'm at, I think it's a natural gas power plant, but they have a huge solar field that they're building. They bought up a bunch of land and put solar throughout that whole thing. And I think, I don't remember the plans, but I think within 10 or 20 years, they want all the power from that power plant to be generated via green energy. So, especially where I live in Florida, this is already here and it's coming, frankly, worldwide. Solar, wind, biofuels, wave energy. From like waves in the ocean, all that kind of stuff is coming. It's a good thing that is coming, frankly, better environment, all that stuff. From a business standpoint, the reason I brought this up though is that installers typically don't make a lot of money. Their margins are super low for the most part at this stage in the solar build-out. So that's a good thing that they're not installing. Who's making the money in this arena? The people who create the necessary equipment for these solar installers. This is more of what's called a picks and shovels play. If you haven't heard that term before, or this, again, this looks like it from this arena. What's a picks and shovels play? This goes back to 1849 in the US in the gold rush in the San Francisco area in California, where people went because they saw gold was being found in the area, so people rushed the area. Most people, or some people, use their entire life savings. Most people lost a ton of money because of this, and some people lost their lives, their livelihoods, because of they were searching essentially for the lottery ticket and trying to find gold. Modern, or that was a not a historic, I guess it's a historic version of a lottery ticket. In my or in most kind of modern people's opinions. But the people who made the most money and did the best, people who sold necessary things to mine, that was things like picks, shovels. Levi Strauss, I think, made a killing selling denim products because it withstood. And I think that's actually how the company was founded, actually. In San Francisco in this time, and they made a killing with their denim products because they withstood things like rocks and debris better. So people who sold necessary stuff sold or did far better than companies or than the people that were looking for gold. And this company looks like a similar thing. I love picks and shovels types of companies for that reason. Why? Because again, to sum things up, they're always going to be necessary as long as this technology is going to be around and solar is going to be around for probably decades to come. Unless we unless we come up with nuclear fusion or some other sci-fi stuff, solar is probably going to be around for at least, at the very least, decades. Okay. And they sell to a wide range of things. They sell to wholesalers. Okay, yeah, that's all interesting. So again, this is why I do this. So at this stage, we've spent 8.5 minutes, a little bit over, talking about this one thing. That's how important these things can be. Okay, now let's actually get to the number or the numbers. One problem in this arena, things, because again, everybody sees this technology coming, have bid these prices up. So typically, solar companies sell at a huge valuation. I don't care for PE at all. Or price to sales, but these are two signs the company may be overvalued with its price to sales just under 10 and forward PE just under 56. I'll get into more details about that shortly. Okay, revenue has skyrocketed from 75 million in 2012 to 1.43 billion in the trailing 12-month period. Again, that's happened not only because the technology's a lot better. But that technology improvement has made prices come drastically down to where it's able to not only compete, but in some cases beat energy sources from things like natural gas, oil, coal, all that kind of stuff. And again, especially where I live in the state of Florida, where it's wind or it's sunny, something like 340 days a year, makes perfect sense. Okay, operating income. This is a bit surprising. The company's been profitable for a while. Most solar companies have only kind of recently, last year or two, become profitable on an operating income basis. So they've been profitable since 2015, and their losses before that were minor. That is a fantastic sign. Again, because we're still pretty much at the beginning stages of this green energy revolution, or whatever you want to call it. Okay, operating margin was negative again. 2015, it's been between 8.7% and just under and 15%. I look for anything above 10% on a consistent basis, so that's fantastic. It's earning per share also positive and going up from 27 cents a share in 2015 to $2.40 a share in 12-month period. Again, fantastic. They've actually not diluted a ton of shares either. Again, another reason that or another reason or another thing that's happened when a lot of the solar companies, with being unprofitable, they've had to issue a ton of shares to raise capital. SolarEdge has not. They have only issued, what is that, 15 million shares since 2012, which is, yes, still dilution, but it's not massive dilution like you've seen at some other solar companies. The book value per share has gone up over time as well. That's a good sign. I go into more detail on why that's generally a good sign in multiple videos in this series, and you can get the videos in the series in the links below. Cash flow is positive most of the last decade as well. Fantastic. ROIC is good as well. I looked for anything above 10% on a consistent basis, and it's been between 10 and about 36% for most of the last decade. And in the last 12 months, it was 9.5%. Again, I look for anything above 10% on a consistent basis, so this is fantastic and frankly surprising. Free cash flow to sales. I look for anything above 5% on a consistent basis here. Since they became profitable in the 2015 timeframe, they've been only below 5% once. And in the last 12 months, they actually are. But in the full year 2020, they were not. And from 2016 to 2020, their average free cash flow to sales was probably in the 10% range, which is again fantastic. Look for anything about 5% on a consistent basis. Okay, decent amount of cash on their balance sheet. That's good. Decent amount of long-term debt. Their liabilities as a whole are pretty low, only 55% of the balance sheet. Okay, here is a problem potentially. Okay, cash conversion cycle. Normally, if they were an installer, this wouldn't matter. Because they are a parts manufacturer, seller, all that, this matters. Cash conversion cycle matters for hard assets, companies that sell hard assets, things like parts for solar units. So this has gone up from 34 and a half days in 2013 to 117 days rounded up in the trailing 12-month period. That is almost a tripling of, almost quadrupling actually, of its cash conversion cycle in that time. What does that mean? That means they are now four times they're selling essentially their, or they are turning this cash conversion cycle four times less often, which means they're making money four times less often. This cycle is ultra important, not just because of the overall number, but mainly because of the numbers that go into it. Day sales outstanding, days inventory, payables period. I'm going to go over this briefly, but I do have another longer video where I go through the cash conversion cycle and why it's so important. I'll just and I'll that is in the links below, and I'll try to find out which specific video that is, and I'll put it in the links below, so you don't have to go searching for it. But the highlights here: day sales outstanding have gone up from 43 days rounded up to 65 days rounded up from 2013 and to the trailing 12-month period. That means it's taking them about 23 days, 22, 23 days longer to sell stuff. That's not good, because if it takes them 22, 23 days longer to sell stuff, that means it takes them 22, 23 days longer to get paid. Days inventory has gone up. That also means the inventory is not selling as fast, which makes sense because their sales are up as well, or the sales period is up as well. This is not good. Days sales and inventory both being up means they're having a harder time selling their stuff, which means not only are they getting cash less often, so this is potentially a massive issue, because it leads to cash flow issues, or it can lead to cash flow issues. It can lead to inventory issues as well. So for example, it's taking longer for them to sell stuff. If they have to discount products when they go to sell them to a third party or a wholesaler or a distributor or something like that, because there is a new upgraded version, for example, that means lower revenues, that means lower profits, and lower efficiency. Or this whole cycle means lower efficiency is essentially what it measures, which can lead to lower profits, which can lead to lower revenues, which can lead to a lower value of the company. That's why this number is so important. The last thing here is the days payable period. This is also, so these two up here, days sales outstanding, days inventory, you typically want to see those go down. Payables period, you typically want to see about the same, stay about the same, or go up. The reason being is this dropping from 81 days in 2013 to 49 days in the trailing 12-month period can also mean several things, and frankly, none of them are great. This could mean they miss some payments to their suppliers, and their suppliers are making them pay faster. It could mean they're having to pay their suppliers faster for their parts, and whatever they're manufacturing and selling, because there's more competition. If there's more competition, that leads to potentially having to lower prices, which leads to lower revenues, lower profits, lower cash flows. So I just named off, 15 to 25 different things just from this one number, the cash conversion cycle, on areas to look. And I'm gonna show you when we get to the balance sheet where to look, but this is why it's so important to monitor this number, especially for a company that produces hard assets like this company does, because it gives you clues on where to look, and that's where we're going next in the balance sheet. Okay. What you want to look for here, if you see accounts receipt, or if you see sales and inventory rising, is you want to look at accounts receivable, or trade receivables. They've renamed them trade receivables on Morningstar. And inventory levels. And I want to look at it over time, so let's go to the annual. So inventories have gone up. Accounts receivables have also gone up. And they've gone up actually at about the same rate, it looks like, off the top of my head. So not a huge issue. Actually, inventories have risen slightly faster. You typically want to see inventories and accounts receivable rise or fall at about the same rate. If one of them is rising or falling at a different rate, it's a red flag, because again, right here, they have about $110 million more in inventories than accounts receivable, and they started off at 70 million and 80 million. So inventories levels have gone up faster. Again, that could lead to things like having to discount parts. That could mean there's more competition. That could mean all the other things I mentioned earlier, which could lead to lower revenues, lower profits. And another way you can check that is going back to, are their profits going down over time? And they have been. They were up at a height of 2017 of 15%. Now it's down to 8.4%, the operating margin. So this is what happens when your cash conversion cycle rises. Your profits, your profit margins typically go down, and your profitability typically goes down. Again, it's not necessarily the full story here, because revenues have shot up what, 2.5 times almost since 2017. But it's so it's not necessary, and as things have become more competitive, as prices for solar has dropped, so it likely means many of the things that I talked about, more competition, all the stuff I talked about earlier. Are any of these, having said all this, are any of these major red flags? Not necessarily at this point. It's something to watch. If inventories continue to skyrocket, that is a major red flag. And I again say skyrocket, they've gone up by about $110 million in, was that 5 years? So it's not like they're going up at a massive rate compared to the accounts receivables, but it's still something to watch for the reasons I talked about earlier. Okay, let's go to the balance sheet, the rest of the balance sheet. A lot of cash, that's good. $870 million-ish dollars in cash. Nothing else of major note here. Frankly, they have a really clean balance sheet. They have more cash than debt. That's a good thing because it gives more margin of safety to the company. Yeah, really clean balance sheet, actually. Which, again, is frankly surprising for a solar company because most solar companies are not doing well. Which, again, is why I love picks and shovels companies, because their parts are necessary, unlike installers. It's less of a commodity thing, like installers, and that's just, frankly, a story for another day. Because that would get me way off topic here. Clean cash flow statement as well, especially compared to their side. Their issuances or repayments of debt are the biggest thing, and that's minimal. Yeah, really clean balance sheet. So this, at this stage, even all I had to say about the cash conversion cycle, SolarEdge looks like a great potential investment. Legitimately meets pretty much all my criteria I look for at this stage. Let's see where, again, if you watch my other videos, this is where most companies go to die, though. Oh, and it's where SolarEdge will go to die for me as well, is the valuation. I don't care much for PE, price to cash flow, or forward PE. But when I want, when I do, I want to see these below 20. PE right now is 110, price to cash flow is 102, and forward PE is 56, rounded up. The most important number on here is enterprise value to cash flow, right here. EV to EBIT. I look for this to be below 8 to consider a company undervalued. This is at 90. So this shows that SolarEdge is enormously overvalued when you consider the entire company, because enterprise value considers market cap, debt, and cash, which I want to consider as a total owner of the company, because I think of myself as a partial owner of the company. That's how I think when I look at a stock, and it compares those things to operating profit. Yeah, this shows that the company is massively overvalued, and this, like many companies right now, is where SolarEdge goes to die for me. Great looking stock, though, otherwise. Yeah, great looking stock. Oops, got my screens all messed up here. There we go. Let me bring you, trying to bring you back to my face here. There we go. Yeah, great looking stock. Honestly, it meets almost, I think, every single one of my criteria that I look for on a preliminary basis, which is what we're doing here, except for the valuation, which is, again, with stock being at all-time highs. If a stock meets that criteria with the metrics and the profitability and the free cash flow and stuff like that, typically, because valuations are absurd right now, pretty much across the board, that's where most stocks go to die for me as well. But this is a great-looking potential solar stock. Or just a stock in general, frankly, just not even a solar stock. It's a great looking potential stock overall, based on its margins and stuff. I would want to watch the cash conversion cycle over time to see if their margins keep falling. If they do keep falling, it's not necessarily a great stock right now. Still is. Like that, it's a picks and shovels play. Like a lot of stuff about this company, again, except the valuation. But David C., this is a great looking stock potentially. At a cheaper price. But thanks for this recommendation. If you have anything, if I miss anything, if I didn't explain something well enough, please let me know in the comments below. If you want me to look at a stock like I did for David C. here, let me know. I'll look at a stock anywhere in the world. The only things it has to meet are three criteria. It cannot be a bank because I don't evaluate banks. Can't be an insurance company because you have to actually dig into the 10-Ks and the annual reports to evaluate insurance companies. And it has to be producing revenue. Why does that have to be producing revenue? Because again, like I said at the beginning, I don't care about story. I don't care what the company says it's going to do in the future. At this stage of my analysis, a company has to be producing numbers or there's nothing to look at. And I did some of those. Frankly, they're boring because there's nothing to look at. So if it meets those three criteria, I look at a stock anywhere for you in the world. If you're looking for more, or if you're looking for more help on how to become a better investor, make sure to check out our three free resources below, including our 5 free gifts, which you can get the full written template of this, this analysis we just did, so you can do it yourself. It'll help you find and evaluate stocks faster and better. You can get that as part of our 5 free gifts below. You can also get my free copy of my PDF copy of my book How to Value Invest for free as well. You can also get a free copy of the guide 3 tips to picking great stocks, or yeah, 7 tips to picking great stocks, sorry, 3 times you must sell. You can get all 3 of those for free at the links below. If you want more specific help from me, make sure to check out our newly relaunched masterclass as well. You can check out that link in the links below in the description as well. But until next time, have a great day. Talk soon.